Hi, and welcome to another episode of Conversations. My name is James, and I'm the pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church. You know, in the scriptures, it tells us in Psalm 107, verse 2, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In today's episode with Beth Montgomery, she will do exactly that. She will say so. And so I encourage you to sit back, relax, and listen to the conversation that I had with Dr. Beth Montgomery. And I'll talk to you at the end of today's episode. Let me first ask you, I know who you are, but why don't you tell our listeners who you are? What type of person are you?
Well, we all have so many titles in life. I'm a wife of 20 years. January will be 20 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Homeschooling mom of two boys. Teenager now, seminary graduate, director of Care and Compassion Ministries at our church here, and do nursing home outreach and Christian counseling to the women there, and just servant of the Lord, just whatever He calls me to do, I try to do.
Amen. Now, you said that you were the director of Care and Compassion there at your church. And I know at one time you found it difficult to find a place to worship in your area, but it sounds like you found a place. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. We found a church that God has allowed us to minister in and through, but this area of the country is just so different. I mean, saying it's like apples and oranges is just, it doesn't even start. It's very, very different than the South, and so nothing compares to our home church. And we still miss you and think about y'all all the time. So.
Yeah, and the feeling's mutual. You said you were married soon to be 20 years. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. January 18th, it'll be 20 years.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's amazing! Yeah. Congratulations on that. And you're
Thank
married
you.
to Steve, and I wrote down John's name for some reason, but you're married to Steve. I think I meant to write down January, but he's doing well. Your family's doing well.
Doing well, yeah. John's our youngest, and miracle child. Well, all children are a miracle, but John's 12 and a half, and Benjamin's 13, and married to the most wonderful husband in the world. So. Yeah.
It sounds like every man's dream to have his wife say married to the best man in the world. That's what I hope my wife says anyway.
Oh, I'm sure she does. It's I think there's nothing that is like a Christian marriage. I mean, you know, when God's in the center, it, like Ecclesiastes says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's just yeah.
Yeah.
He give all the glory to Him.
Amen. Amen. Now, can you tell me, because I know just a little bit about your family background, just from what I've heard you say and the ladies group, what they've said. But can you tell me a little bit about your family and the way that you grew up?
The way I grew up, my parents divorced when I was 7. I had grown up Jewish before that. Both my parents and their parents were, I mean, as far back. And matter of fact, I was the first one that I know of in the family to, like, not marry someone Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad left, and as soon as he left, my mom said, we're going to church.
Wow.
Yeah, we started, and that was the work, you know, that was seeds that were planted when she was a child, because she had Christian friends. And so we both kind of grew in God together. And I've been in church from then on.
Amen. Now, you said your parents were divorced when you were 7. And so there's surely there have been some struggles with that, as well as growing up Jewish. Do you want to share about any of those things?
Growing up single parent, so many kids now do. It can be challenging, I think, especially you know, as a female, trying to feel secure, and when you don't have the male presence in the home. And So I spent time looking for approval in the wrong places or with the wrong people, and those were some of early mistakes that I made before I came to Christ as a teenager. And my Jewish heritage, actually, it wasn't until I had been a Christian for some time that that actually posed a challenge to me. It was really kind of a blessing in a lot of ways before that, but it was a stumbling block at some point that I'll share with you later in our talk.
Sure. You mentioned about before you were saved. And there's one thing that I'm so thankful for is that we all have a testimony. And in our church, of course you experience this a little bit, is we have a ladies group called Hearts in Harmony, and a
Yeah.
great bunch of ladies. And I'm
Oh, I miss
reminded,
them.
oh, and they miss you too, believe that. But they had a ladies conference a few years ago, and I have went back to this in my preaching and everything, and the theme was you have a story. And I wish that I could tell everyone in the world that has been saved that they have a story. And it is so amazing to me the different types of salvation experiences. Now, I'm not talking about different ways of salvation. We know that there's one way of salvation, but the ways leading to salvation. What about you? Can you tell us maybe when you realized that you were lost? Maybe tell us about your salvation experience.
Yes, that's one of my favorite things to share. And I guess to back up, I had heard, I even before I knew who Jesus was, like growing up Jewish, I knew of God the Father and prayed, and always I felt His presence. So I had that. And then when we were going to church, and I was just learning, I went through a program, and at the end of it, at the study, you stood up with the other kids that were done with that program, and we made a profession of faith. And I was 12, and I thought that I was saved then, but there was no change in my life. It was similar to, I guess, a lot of stories that we hear now of people thinking that they were saved and making a profession, but it wasn't a real profession of faith. Because James tells us that even, we believe in God, even the demons believe and tremble. So there, it wasn't a saving faith. But my salvation experience, I remember the first time was it was before a church service, and it was spring of 1990, and I don't know the exact day, but I can tell you it was spring of 90, and I can tell you that, I mean, the way the clouds looked and the way the sky looked, and it was before church service, and everybody was talking, and it was the first time in my life I had this fear, this panic crept over me, and I thought, I don't think I'm saved, and I was panicked. And I ran over to the pastor. He was talking to someone else, and I must have looked like, I don't know, my eyes must have been bugging out. And he finished his conversation as quickly as he could, and spoke with me. And I said, I don't think I'm saved. And he said, okay, well, what's going on, and why do you think that? So I told him about, my experience, and he said, well, and then he took me down the Romans Road. And I answered, affirmatively to everything, and that I believed in, and just right there and then. I mean, I was saved right there and then. And then I walked down the aisle at the end of the service and dedicated, publicly made that profession of faith to the whole congregation and dedicated my life to the Lord. And then later, actually was baptized, like truly baptized, immersed on the right side of the cross.
I
So, yeah.
like that on the right side of the cross. And on the right side of the cross is where we want you to be today. In today's episode, of course, you heard how that she thought she was saved and how that she came to the realization that she was indeed lost without God, and she gave her heart and life to Christ. And in later episodes, you'll hear some more about her Christian life, some struggles, some accomplishments and things of that sort. But I encourage you, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, stop today. Bow and ask Jesus to come into your heart today. If nothing else happens today or any other day, the one thing that will change your life is being saved and becoming a child of God and having a personal relationship with Him. That's it for this episode. God bless you. Until next time.